How about a little heterogeneous development platform to start your day? Oh yeah, that's how I roll. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Oh yes, we are talking about automatic generation of multi-threaded executables today. And if you're not in electronic engineering, you're definitely in the wrong place. Yes, my guest today is CacheQ's CEO, Clay Johnson. And we're talking about their new compiler for multi-threaded acceleration for CPUs with multiple physical cores, and why there is a need for a heterogeneous compute development environment, specifically for software developers. But before we bring in Clay, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Soft Electronics Edition. Soft Electronics, you say? Oh yes, but not just that. Soft Electronics that are reconfigurable, self-healing, and recyclable. Okay, what the heck am I talking about? So, a team of researchers from the Virginia Tech Department of Mechanical Engineering and the Micromolecules Innovation Institute have created a new type of soft, stretchy, skin-like circuits that can be recycled to generate new circuits and can take a bunch of damage without losing any electrical conductivity. So, these soft circuits, developed by this team at Virginia Tech, are actually composed of electronic composites and electricity-conducting liquid metal droplets. Ravi Tuktika, first author of this study, explains the process like this. To make circuits, we introduced a scalable approach through embossing, which allows us to rapidly create tunable circuits by selectively connecting droplets. We can then locally break the droplets apart to remake circuits, and even completely dissolve the circuits to break all the connections to recycle the materials, and then start at the beginning. So these circuits are pretty great. They can stretch up to 10 times their original length without failure, and without losing their electrical connection. They can also take a whole lot of damage without failure as well. Now I'm hearing you loud and clear, my fish frying loyal audience. How much damage is a lot? Well, these circuits will actually keep working under some pretty extreme circumstances. Like if a hole is punched in one of these circuits, the metal droplets can still transfer power. Instead of cutting the connection completely like a traditional wire, the droplets these circuits have actually make new connections around the hole to continue passing electricity. And then there's that recyclable aspect I mentioned earlier. The rubbery materials and metal droplets can be reprocessed and returned to a liquid solution. And then from there, they can be remade into another circuit. Assistant Professor Michael Bartlett, who led this team at Virginia Tech, is hopeful about the future of this technology. He says, "We're excited about our process and envision these materials as key components for emerging soft technologies. This work gets closer to creating soft circuitry that could survive in a variety of real-world applications." Cool, right? So if you want even more information about these new stretchy soft circuits, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, including their research paper written by this team called Self-Healing Liquid Metal Composite for Reconfigurable and Recyclable Soft Electronics. All right, it's time to bring in Clay Johnson, CEO of CacheQ. Let's go. Hi, Clay. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Nice to be on your show.
Okay, so when we talked last, CacheQ had unveiled a heterogeneous compute development environment for processor FPGA compute architectures. Now,
You guys have a latest announcement, which is a compiler for multi-threading acceleration for CPUs with multiple physical cores. That's a mouthful. So, Clay, tell me more about this announcement.
Well, as you said, the last time we talked, we were discussing FPGA acceleration, and we've continued to build on that platform. Our original platform supported processors plus FPGA accelerator boards connected via PCIe bus. And then we added more capability to that that allows us to support monolithic solutions. So if you have a processor on a monolithic die with an FPGA, we can now support that technology also. So this allows you to take standard C code, run it through our tools, analyze your application, and then generate executables that run across both processors and FPGAs, whether those FPGAs are connected monolithically on the same die or through a PCIe accelerator board. However, that is not the complete story in terms of if you look at computing, because computing can consist of a variety of different types of compute nodes, whether those be processors, FPGAs, GPUs. You're seeing a lot of things with AI accelerator chips, and also something that's been around for a long time, which is multi-core processors. The challenge with multi-core processors is there's not an easy way for software developers to take code and actually compile it in what we call multi-threaded that would allow, I'll say, single-threaded code to run across multiple cores. So what we've done is we've enhanced our development platform that, again, allows someone to take a standard high-level language, and as I mentioned earlier, target processors or FPGAs, but now also support the ability to compile what we call multi-threaded. So I run through our tool, you compile it, and it will generate an executable that will run across multiple processors. And you specify the number of processors that you want it to run on, or cores, at runtime. So this allows someone to easily take code and target a variety of different heterogeneous compute nodes, whether that's a single processor, multiple processors, or multiple cores, or a combination of multi-cores along with FPGA accelerators.
So, Clay, I know you touched upon this a little bit, but what do you feel are the real advantages of this new compiler?
Well, if you look at existing tools that are out there in the marketplace that have been around for a long time, they require the developer to spend a lot of time and energy analyzing their code, adding something called pragmas to their code, understanding where the code can actually be parallelized. And this is a significant effort and requires a certain amount of very specific expertise in terms of understanding architecture, understanding how data moves between cores, understanding a lot about cache line moves. All right. So what's unique about our technology is that the software developer does not need to add any sort of information into the source code to have this our compiler generate multi-threaded code. So they just run the compiler with an option that says, I want to generate multi-threaded executable, and the compiler will automatically do that for the user, which is dramatically different than the way existing technology works. In fact, you can actually look out there and you can see quotes from people that essentially says automatic generation of multi-threaded executables is a non-solvable problem. But in fact, we have solved that via our compiler technology. So the advantages of that obviously is you do not have to have expertise in terms of what the underlying architecture really looks like. And the other advantages of this is that I don't have to spend a lot of time and energy from a development point of view. So it saves a lot of resource, and thus it saves a lot of money for people who are developing products.
That makes sense. Now, Clay, what are the results using your new compiler?
Well, there's a couple results that you get. One is, and it's application specific, one is if I'm able to run applications multi-threaded, then I'm splitting up the execute time across multiple cores. And the end result of that is that my application or my executable will run faster. So greater performance is the most obvious benefit. The other benefit is if I have a platform where the runtime is sufficient, if I'm able to run across multiple cores, then I can run those cores at a lower clock frequency. And if I do that, then the net result is I get something that will consume less power. So it's a combination, which the user can determine, of either having the application consume less power when it executes or driving higher performance. And so it varies across platforms in terms of what people really drive for. A lot of stuff in the high performance computing space, they're looking for what we call reduction in wall clock time. How long does it take from me to start my executable to the point that it finishes? And they want to reduce that significantly, right? So they're going to be interested in running multi-cores to reduce runtime. Now, if I'm in an embedded space where I have an embedded processor with multiple cores on it, a lot of those technologies are driven by low power, and I don't have a significant power budget to deal with. So they're interested in how can I reduce the amount of power this is consuming to achieve the same result. So in that particular case, they will probably generate executables that will use multiple cores, but by using multiple cores, then I can reduce my clock frequency, thus reducing the power that's consumed by my application. The other benefit, which a number of customers have highlighted, is with existing tools today, it's really hard to figure out if I run it multi-threaded and I don't get higher performance, why? What is the reason for that? Where do I go into my code to figure out what's happening or what do I have to do? So the other thing that our tool provides is a significant amount of reporting. So it will tell you when it compiles an application, what it was able to multi-thread and what loops it was not able to thread. And by doing that, it gives a developer a lot of information regarding those things that can be multi-threaded and those things that can't. And so if you're not getting the kind of results that you want or desire, the tool will provide a lot of guidance. And this, again, will save significant development time, because what's happening today is most developers are flying blind and essentially experimentation in terms of trying to figure out what's happening in terms of not being able to get significant performance improvement by multi-threading. They don't know what happens with the data. They don't know why loops aren't giving them the results they expect. So our tool provides that kind of information, which means either the application itself cannot be multi-threaded, and so don't spend a lot of time trying to do that, or here's what you need to do to modify your code so that it can be multi-threaded.
So Clay, let's talk about this need for a heterogeneous compute development environment, specifically for software developers. Why do you think there is such a big demand here?
Well, when software developers are starting to develop code or modify code, they're not absolutely certain what the end platform that they're going to target. What is the mix of cores or accelerators? So they could be running on a single core, they could be targeting multi-cores, or they could be targeting a platform that consists of processors plus accelerators like FPGAs. And so what this environment allows them to do is, depending on the need, target across all those various heterogeneous compute nodes. They may be able to achieve their desired result by running on multiple cores, and that will give them the performance they require. Or they'll realize that they're running across multiple cores, they don't get the performance they need, so that they're going to be able to need to use something like FPGAs to get further performance. All right, so a heterogeneous development environment allows them to start from the same source, not have to understand all the details of the underlying hardware architecture, and then target multiple different types of compute nodes, which ultimately will give them the best result across performance, investment time, power, et cetera. So if you don't have a common environment to do that, you end up with spending a lot of time modifying code specifically to run on certain types of nodes, which may be a fruitless effort because that's not going to give you the results you need. Or you're going to spend a lot of time and energy trying to get things to run across multiple cores, as opposed to if you have a common environment that allows you to target many different types of heterogeneous compute nodes, then you can start from the same source, you can validate that source, and then you can have the tools generate the executable according to the needs of the end market.
So Clay, where can my audience go for more information about CacheCube?
So the best place to go is our website, which is cacheCube.com. And on our website, we have multiple videos up there that explain FPGA acceleration, they explain multi-core compilation. We have videos that compare and contrast other alternatives to our technology. So that's the best place to start.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Clay, I think it is time for your off-the-cuff question. So, Clay, I heard that you recently went to a San Francisco Giants game. So tell me about that experience. And they didn't win, did they?
No, they did not win, but it was the first time we were able to go to the game. It was not a full stadium, but that's okay. There were sections where you could sit in larger groups. There were sections where you could sit in smaller groups, but was exciting to see that fans are starting to be able to go out and see baseball games again. And a lot of people are excited about that. Plus, if you actually look at it, we're coming up to the All-Star break. And the Giants have the best record in baseball, which is pretty exciting for those of us who are in the Bay Area.
That is exciting. Well, Clay, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia.
And before we go, don't forget to check out my brand new maker-themed monthly fish fry podcast series called Makers Today. In our second episode of this series, launched in July, I chat with Lorraine Underwood about the hashtag Badass Women Makers and Engineers project at Element 14, the cool projects she has created, and why she wrote the book Save the World with Code. And we have a brand new episode of this series launching on August 24th, and you won't want to miss this one. And hey, if you're a maker and you'd like to be featured on this series, please let me know. You can send me an email at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com. Send me a message on LinkedIn or Carrier Pigeon. I don't know, whatever works for you. And stay tuned for that new episode coming later this month. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, who would that be? Me. Yeah. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. And 5 stars, please. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 6th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.